Take your Bibles with me, please, and let's open them together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if you are visiting with us this morning, it's great to see so many visitors. Okay, go ahead. It's great to see so many visitors here, and if you're visiting with us, I want you to know, you should probably know this, that we take the Word of God rather seriously in this church. And to that end, or evidence of that, we might say, we go through entire books of the Bible, both in Sunday school and in church and in midweek Bible study. We go through entire books of the Bible from start to finish, verse by verse. And this morning, we come to a few verses at the beginning of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where God calls all of us to do something. And that something is excel still more. That's what some translations say. That's the way I like it translated. In some translations, it says abound more and more. This really is the goal of all of 1 Thessalonians. So look with me, if you would, please. We're just going to look briefly at verses 1 through 3a in 1 Thessalonians, where God calls all Christians to excel still more. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 1, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more," or that you should excel still more, "just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification." And we're going to stop there for today and just cover that first part. By the grace of God, I have been a follower of Jesus Christ now for almost exactly 25 years. And over those 25 years, one topic that has come up again and again and again is the will of God. What is the will of God? What is God's will for my life? Often, we hear in the context of a major decision, what is God's will for me now? It might be a question about college. Where should I go to college? How do I know God's will? It might be a question about marriage. Whom should I marry, or should I get married at all? What is God's will? It might be a career or a job or a relocation decision. Should I stay or should I go? Should I keep this job or should I take that new one? What is the will of God? Sometimes I have heard over the years, once a decision has already been made, I've heard, "Well, I knew this was the will of God." Every once in a while I'll ask, and I'll say, "Well, how do you know?" "Well, because things just lined right up." Which sounds good until the kids come to you and they say, "Well, we knew that buying the his and her jet skis was the will of God. Because when we applied for the loan, everything just lined right up. We were approved instantly." Oh. So is that how we discern the will of God? You know, actually, God is very good. He's so good that He has chosen to reveal His will to us in a far better way. What is it? Yeah, good for you, holding up Bibles. In writing. God has revealed His will for us here. Within His will, there is a great deal of freedom concerning whom you might marry, or where you might go to college, or what degree you might pursue. But He has revealed His will for us on the pages of Scriptures, and it's all over both the Old and New Testaments. In the Old Testament, God said again and again to His people, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." That was His will. And He gave all of His commandments to Israel so that they would know how they might become a holy people by following God's commandments. But we see the same thing in the New Testament. What we find in the pages of the New Testament is that it's really the same for us. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 14-16. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to those former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the one who calls you, like the one who calls you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" The author of Hebrews says it this way, Hebrews 12:14, "Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Here, the Apostle Paul could not be more clear. In verse 3, he says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." The word sanctification means holiness. Your holiness. That is God's will. Your set-apartedness. Now this is a call to progressively, day by day, throughout your Christian life, grow in likeness to Jesus. This is the will of God, your progressive sanctification. This is the will of God, that you make progress. The way it's stated in verse 1, this is the will of God, that you would excel still more, that you would abound more and more in purity, and as we'll see, also in love. Why? Why? I mean, that is the call of God, that we grow in holiness. That is the call of God, that we be sanctified. That is the call of God, that we would all abound more and more, excel still more. But why? And the thrust of this passage, the emphasis here, is on why we ought to do that. And so what I want to give you is just a few reasons. It'll be more than a few in the end, but I'll go through them quickly. A few reasons for why it is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you should abound more and more. You should pursue holiness. You should grow in your likeness to Jesus Christ between now and the day when Jesus comes again. And reason number one is Jesus is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. Notice verse 1, finally then, stop there. See the word then? Some of your Bibles say therefore, and it is a therefore. Finally therefore. And the therefore points back to what he had just said in verse 13, and what he just said there is that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming again with all of his saints. Finally therefore. Finally, in light of this fact that Jesus Christ is coming again, excel still more. That's why. Because when Christ comes, you want to be found doing what he wanted you to do. And what he wanted you to do was to pursue holiness, to become more and more like him for God's glory, and it's also for the furtherance of the gospel. So, because Christ is coming again. By the way, something that Jesus said to his disciples again and again was that he was coming and that he wanted them to be ready. Be ready, right? Be found by him, faithfully doing what he had said. And what he had said was, follow me. So what Christ wants us to be found doing when he comes again is following him. But we do not all follow him quite exactly as we should. We do not all follow him perfectly. We do not all follow him as closely as we ought to. I would not ask for a show of hands, and I hope you wouldn't raise yours at this, but I could ask you, how many of you would say you're already following Jesus so perfectly that you have attained maximum spiritual maturity? No hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And I would not raise mine either. Neither would the Apostle Paul, who said in another place, it is not as though I have attained. So what is God's will? Your sanctification, your progressive growth in holiness. His will is that you would excel still more. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming again. And number two, because this is what remains for you to do. The first word in this verse is very interesting. Finally then, loipon in the Greek, which is from a word that means it remains. It remains. The commentator D. Edmund Hebert, if you can buy a commentary by him, buy it. He's one of the greatest commentators on the New Testament. He translates it, as for the rest, brethren. And he says this first word implies that while much has been said, there remains something else to be dealt with, which may not be brief. And it isn't brief. Finally then, brethren, and what follows are two chapters. He's not saying in conclusion. He's saying what remains, brethren, is for you to excel still more. And that is a reason for us to do it. What is left for us to do until Jesus comes again is to excel still more, to keep progressing in our walk with him, to keep growing in holiness. There's a third reason. A third reason why every one of you who professes to believe in Jesus Christ should excel still more until he comes again. And the reason is, we request this, but more than that, we exhort this in the Lord Jesus. Notice what he says. Finally then, brethren, we urge, which is really a word for asking. Some of your Bibles might say, we request, we ask, and this is much more authoritative, and we exhort in the Lord Jesus. Why would he say we exhort in the Lord Jesus? Because he wants to remind you, we are in Christ, and you are in Christ, and what we tell you to do in the name of Christ. This is a reminder of the authority in whom we give the exhortation. Finally then, brethren, we urge, but we also exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, that you should excel still more. That you should pursue holiness. That you should progressively become sanctified in your walk with Christ. Why? Because Christ is coming again. Because this is what remains for you to do until that happens. And because we are not just requesting, we are exhorting in the Lord Jesus. There's a fourth reason. And it's right here in verse 1. Notice what he says. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us already, how you ought to walk and to please God. In other words, this is nothing new. You have received already where? Where do you think they received already? In the gospel. You received already in the gospel how you ought to walk and to please God. And part of that was to be holy. In Romans, where Paul explains the gospel in full detail, and I really believe that wherever Paul went, he was preaching what we see in Romans. He was giving the full gospel. Right? Romans 1 all the way through. When Paul finishes presenting the doctrinal portion of the gospel in Romans 1 through 11, he gets to Romans 12 and he says what? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves unto God a living sacrifice. And what's the next word? Holy. Holy. Right? Holy. And so Paul is saying, brethren, you've already received. You've already accepted from us. You've already taken in the gospel. And you remember from chapter 2, verse 13, you've already received what we told you as the word of God. And so that's a reason for you to excel still more, because you've already received from us that the right way for you to respond to the gospel is to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Again, no show of hands. How many of you are already completely transformed through the renewing of your minds that there is zero conformity to this world? None of us. We are not like Jesus Christ yet in non-conformity to the world. So what's the will of God? Your sanctification. What's the will of God? That you would excel still more. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming again. And because this is what remains for you to do until He does. And because we are not just asking, we are exhorting in the Lord Jesus. And because you've already received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Fifth reason. You don't see it in some of your Bibles, but you do in others. Fifth reason, you're already doing this. Some of your Bibles say this in verse 1. If you have a New American Standard, you see this. It says, in parentheses, just as you actually do walk. In other words, I know that you're already doing things to excel still more. I know that you're already coming to church. I know that you're already listening to the Word of God. I know that you're already praying and you're already reading your Bibles. And so I say, keep on going and excel still more. Why? Because you're already doing this. You're already on the right path. Isn't that good? Paul began his letter to the church by saying, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Which was to start by saying, look, we thank God for you. We know God's already at work in your life, and you're on the right path. And then he gets to chapter 4 and he says, now what remains is for you to excel still more on the very same path. Why? Because you're already on the path. That's good. I like that. When somebody says, oh, hey, keep on preaching. Why? Because you're already preaching. Well, good. I'll keep on going. Sixth reason. Sixth reason, verse 2. Here it is. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Where would those commandments be found? In the gospel. How were they given? Through the Lord Jesus. Who was it that saved Paul? The Lord Jesus. Who called him into full-time ministry? The Lord Jesus. Who saved Silas and Timothy? The Lord Jesus. Who commissioned them to take the gospel to the world? The Lord Jesus. Who sent them to Thessalonica? The Lord Jesus. That's why he says, you know the commandments that you received from us through all the work of the Lord Jesus to get us to you, to give you the gospel. And you already know the commands. And where are they found? In the gospel. Again, if we were to go back through Romans 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Anybody know how many commands are in Romans chapters 12 through 16? Anybody want to take a guess? 20? 30? 40? Well, okay, you're close. At least 50. A quick count that I made last night was 50. There's probably more than that. How many of us are obediently, faithfully keeping all 50 commands? Don't raise your hand. Here's one way, simple thing that you could do for your sanctification. Go back through all the commands of Romans 12 through 16 and think, where do I need to grow? Is it hospitality? Is it submission to the government? Is it honesty, integrity? Is it owing nothing to anyone except to love? Is it having no hypocrisy? Is it just clinging to what's good? Is it exercising my spiritual gifts? All of those things are there. Is it not judging others, not criticizing others? Is it accepting others? Is it exercising my liberty in a way that's more wise? All of those commands are there. And so what Paul is saying here, what the Spirit of God is saying here is, listen, I want you to stay on track. I want you to keep going. But I want you to excel still more. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. Because this is what remains for you to do until He does. Because we're not just asking, we are exhorting you to do this in the Lord Jesus. Because this is something that you have already received from us. And because this is something that you were already doing. And because you know the commandments that we've given you through the Lord Jesus. But here's the big reason. You know what it is? Because this is the will of God. Verse 3. For this is the will of God. Your sanctification. What is God's will for your life? That you become increasingly like Jesus Christ. That's it. That applies to everything. That applies to your decision about whether to buy that new car. Does He say you can't? If your wife's against it, then you can't. Because you need to love your wife more. If your wife gives you the green light and God has given you the money and you're not shortchanging anyone else, well, praise the Lord, there's liberty. Honestly, becoming more like Christ means we come back to Christ and we come back to His commands and we say, Lord, what do You say? What do You say today? And I like that in verse 1, in some translations, it says, just as you already are walking. Because walk is the metaphor for day-to-day living. This applies to every day of your life. So what am I saying? What is God saying? God is saying, you need to excel still more. There's room for you to grow. And there are reasons for you to do it. And the question that remains is, how do we do it? And that's for next time. Finally, just a word to you who may be here who do not know Jesus Christ. Because I don't want to leave you out. And by the grace of God, we have a big crowd this morning. And anytime there's a crowd of people, I always think there may be someone here who doesn't know Jesus. And so the message today hasn't been to you. I'm not asking you to excel still more. I would call you to do something else. I would call you simply today to humble yourself. That's it. Jesus said, unless you humble yourself like a little child, there is no way that you can enter into the kingdom of God. And really what God's call for you to do is to simply humble yourself before Him and ask Him for salvation. Now, I know from being a prideful person myself, it is very hard for us to humble ourselves. But listen, if you're here today and you are not saved, you do not have forgiveness of sins, you do not have Jesus Christ, He's not your Savior and not your Lord, I beg you today, humble yourself. Don't leave prideful. Don't leave hardened. Don't leave arrogant. Leave saved. Humble yourself today and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me. And just entrust yourself to Jesus Christ today. I tell you, if you will humble yourself today before the Lord and ask Him for mercy, He will have mercy on your soul. He will forgive you of all of your sins, past, present, and future. He will give you His Holy Spirit. He will change your heart and your life. And you know what's going to happen? You are going to desire for the rest of your life to excel still more. You're going to want to be more like Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your great encouragements for us to grow and help us to do so. And I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are here this morning, and I pray that You would help all of us, myself included, to grow to become more like our Savior. We know it would be for our own good. We know that would be for Your glory, and it would be for the gospel. But I also pray, Father, for anyone here who's not saved. And I just ask, Father, that You would soften that woman's heart, or that man's heart, or that young person's heart this morning, that they might truly leave today rejoicing. And I pray it in Christ's name.